The Fathers of the Church. Who are they? The supreme mission imposed by Christ to teach all His commands and how to observe them was given to them. And all men who seek God would want to hear it from them. It is upon these commands that the whole Christian life is laid down. But in many parts, this duty is not fulfilled through indifference, neglect, or just plain ignorance. Preachings today had become elaborate, opinionated, lengthy, and mostly wearisome. We live in bad days. We need a message that is urgent, simple, and direct, in a language a child can understand, but whose depth is inexhaustible. We need a knowledge of Christ from those who received the rule of interpretation directly from the apostles. A message without vagueness or elaboration. But how can we learn this unless someone shows it to us? Such a duty is so sacred, so responsible. Not anyone can present himself as an acceptable guide. And since the early church, the time she was one, was given custody of the Word of God, only the church can approve who must guide. And she has declared that the only approved guides are the holy, illustrious fathers and doctors of the church, those shining light in the firmament of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sunday sermons of the great fathers of the church with Father Odon De Castro.
Second Sunday of Easter, Cycle A. The Gospel is taken from St. John. On the evening of that first day of the week, even though the disciples had locked the doors of the place where they were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood before them. "Peace be with you," He said. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. At the sight of the Lord, the disciples rejoiced. "Peace be with you," He said again. "As the Father has sent me, so I sent you." Then He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive men's sins, they are forgiven. If you hold them bound, they are held bound." It happened that one of the 12, Thomas, the name means twin, was absent when Jesus came. The other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." The answer was, "I'll never believe it without probing my nail prints in his hand, without putting my finger on the nail marks and my hand into his side." A week later, the disciples were once more in the room, and this time Thomas was with them. Despite the locked door, Jesus came and stood before them. "Peace be with you," He said. Then to Thomas, "Take your finger and examine my hands. Put your hand into my side. Do not persist in your unbelief, but believe." Thomas said in response, "My Lord and my God." Jesus then said to him, "You became a believer because you saw me. Blessed are they who have not seen and have believed." Jesus performed many other signs as well, signs not recorded here in the presence of his disciples. But these had been recorded to help you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, so that through this faith you may have life in His name. The Gospel of the Lord. Today is the second Sunday of Easter. We are going to explain the Gospel for today and at the same time connect it with the pandemic occurring in the whole world today, the coronavirus. How come are we going to explain the liturgy of the Mass for today? Because it is the liturgy of the Sunday, the liturgy of the Lenten season that leads towards the Easter season. And why are we going to discuss the coronavirus? Well, because it is occurring at the same time as the liturgy of the Mass, the Lenten, and the Easter season. Why, is there a connection between the two? Yes. God always put them together so that we can have a current way of putting into practice what is occurring this day. In other words, we are faced with a pandemic. It is a coronavirus infestation of the whole world, and we have to react to it in the proper way. And how are we supposed to react to this coronavirus pandemic? The way the liturgy of the Mass is teaching us. We are supposed to react to it by living a life of repentance, of faith, and of charity. And these are all explained to us from Ash Wednesday, through Holy Week, through Easter, and today, the second Sunday of Easter. Why is there an epidemic today in the whole world? It is an epidemic not known to man before. We have SARS, which occur only in certain nations. We have other epidemic like HIV that only happens to certain people. We have the Spanish flu that affected a vast number of people in the world, but not the entire world. And we have other chastisement like earthquakes that has only happened in certain countries. We have volcanic reactor explosions or eruptions that has happened only at certain places like Taal and so on. Superstorm has occurred in the south, but only in the south, not even in the center of Luzon or other countries. So we have seen chastisement in very specific places. The question is, how come the coronavirus is happening everywhere? It is happening to all religions, to all people, young and old, men and women, to all nations, to all levels of society. It affects doctors and nurses and priests and bishops and nuns. How come it is so worldwide and it affects everybody, all people of all religions, both Christians and atheists, non-Christians and pagans and so on? How come it is so worldwide? Because God wants to express one truth. The first commandment, I am God, and there is no other God than me. Notice how other religions and other gods have no way of stopping this chastisement. Evidently, it doesn't come from different gods. It is one and the same identical chastisement, so it can only come from one God, not from several gods. And notice that no other religion and no other gods can put a stop on it. That is the first lesson learned during this coronavirus infestation. And so there is always the great danger that any one of us would die. And many have died, and the numbers of people who are dying are increasing every day. Actually, as a priest, we cannot prevent people from dying. People die of heart attacks, stroke, cancer, from flu, or car accident or plane accidents. We cannot stop it. What concerns us is, where do people go when they die? To heaven or to hell? And so with the prevalence of this coronavirus that is killing many people, aside from tornadoes and car accidents and cancer and strokes and heart attacks, etc., etc., what concerns us is where do those people go when they die? We have seen many deaths, many coffins, wars are still going on, high fatalities are taking place. Where do those people go when they die? In the Catholic Church, we believe there is a heaven and there is a hell. That certain people go to heaven and certain people go to hell. What interests us is who are those who go to heaven? And we would like to know if we are going to heaven or if our loved ones, our friends are going to heaven. In the midst of this coronavirus that seems to be uncontrollable up to now and kills people in a short time. Meaning to say, if you try to learn how to save your souls and go to heaven, you cannot prepare yourself the moment you get the virus. It would be too late for you. You would not be ready to prepare yourself spiritually for the coming judgment that you are going to face when you die. And so, long before we catch the virus, long before we get sick with this virus, we must be prepared to die and face God in His judgment seat. And what would you consider a person that is prepared? Well, the season of Lent, the season of Easter, up to the second Sunday of Easter today, tells us what preparation is necessary in order to go to heaven when we die. The teaching of the Catholic Church is that you must reach the stage of the spiritual life where you begin with Ash Wednesday, which is repentance, and at least you must have reached second Sunday of Easter today. By today, what stages of the spiritual life should you have reached? First, you must have started and perfected your life of repentance, which you have learned on Ash Wednesday. Second, you must have begun your life of faith, which you began on Holy Week, and it should have been perfected by Easter Sunday up to Easter Wednesday. Your faith must have been perfected. Thirdly, after having perfected your repentance and your faith, you must have at least the beginning of charity, which is showed by the Gospel for today, the second Sunday of Easter. We have shown in the past Masses, which sadly most of you have missed probably, because of the cancellation of all Masses, all homilies, all retreats by the Catholic Church and by Catholic bishops, and probably have completely missed all those steps, in which case most of us would not be prepared to die and to receive a favorable judgment from God and receive everlasting life in heaven, because we would have not known how to do it, since Masses and homilies and so on had been canceled, unless of course you have heard it by live streaming into the internet, which unfortunately most of the priests who were live streaming and even the bishops did not explain the steps towards preparing yourselves for a holy death that will make you deserve of everlasting life. Most of them never spoke of repentance, of faith, and the necessary beginnings of charity, which is explained in the Gospel for today. Now, keep in mind that the Gospel for today explains only the beginnings of charity, but that is necessary for salvation. The next degrees of charity, like the perfection of charity, that is reserved for very few. Very few Catholics can attain that. Even few priests or few bishops can attain that. Much more so, very few lay people can reach that. But all of us can receive and reach the beginnings of charity. Faith, like charity, are theological virtues. They are exclusively the work of God. All we have to do is to dispose ourselves, to put in our souls the proper disposition to receive these theological virtues. But it is God who instills in our soul faith, perfects the faith in our soul, as just shown to us by the past Gospels, wherein Christ was perfecting the faith of Mary Magdalene, the faith of the women, the faith of the apostles, and Christ himself was perfecting the faith of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. It's all the work of God. You cannot perfect your faith in the seminary. You cannot in a house of theology. You cannot perfect your faith by yourself or through any human means. You cannot perfect it by reading all the books that you want. The perfection of faith can only be attained by Christ helping you to perfect your faith. All the more, it is God's word to give us the beginnings of charity as shown in today's gospel. The apostles has not yet reached the beginnings of charity in today's gospel, second Sunday of Easter. They have perfected their repentance, they have perfected their faith, but they have not yet begun the life of charity. And so in the gospel for today, Christ would lead them to the beginnings of the theological virtue of charity. Christ would lead them. They cannot do it by themselves. So Christ appears to his disciples and says to them, "Peace be with you." And then Christ tells them, "Well, now that you have perfect faith, now that you have perfect faith," meaning to say, they know and they believe everything that Christ said and everything that Christ did. Saint John, the evangelist, repeats that in his gospel. When he was writing his gospel, he reminded us that the contents of his gospel is nothing, is absolutely nothing except what John heard from what Christ said and from what Christ did. That is faith. For each one of us to know what Christ said, everything that Christ said, and what Christ did, everything that Christ did. Now, to such kind of people who have perfect faith, Christ therefore appears as he appears to the disciples in today's gospel. It was the evening of the first day of the week. He appears and greets them, "Peace be with you." And then he shows his hand and his feet. And then Christ says, "As the Father has sent me, so I sent you." This was the time Christ told his disciples, "I'm going to send you to preach. I am going to send you to preach." Christ said it only now, second Sunday of Easter. He gives them the command. But when did Christ actually send them out to preach? After Pentecost. Only after Pentecost. But today, second Sunday of Easter, still long before Pentecost, Christ tells them, "I am going to send you as the Father sent me. I can now send you because you have perfect faith. I can send you because you have perfect faith, but I am not yet sending you now. I will send you later after Pentecost because you do not have the beginnings of charity. You don't have it yet. You have to have the beginnings of charity that is given only to those who have perfect faith. But you cannot go out and actually preach unless I have given you the beginnings of charity." You know, what's the problem with the Catholic Church today? Practically everybody who is preaching, you can find it in the internet, in all the videos, in YouTube, you can find their priests and bishops and cardinals preaching. And it seems that they have no faith, and therefore they have no power to preach. Not having faith, Christ has not yet given them the goal or the job to go out and preach. Because for them to actually go out and preach, they have to have the beginnings of charity. Not only the perfection of faith. When they have perfection of faith, Christ will now, as the gospel says, will give them the gift of the beginnings of charity. And Christ tells them, the moment I give you the beginnings of charity, then you still cannot preach. With perfect faith and the beginnings of charity, Christ says, you cannot preach yet. I'm going to give you the job of preaching, but don't start. Don't go out and preach yet. You will only start preaching after Pentecost. So our problem is most of our preachers, if not all of them, do not have perfect faith and do not have the beginnings of charity. Because the beginnings of charity in the gospel for today is, it says, when Christ breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive men's sins, they are forgiven them. If you hold them bound, they are held bound. So, if the priests and the bishops have no faith and they do not have the beginnings of charity because Christ had not yet breathed on them, they cannot preach, they cannot forgive your sins, they cannot bound, they cannot forgive, they cannot hold back, they cannot save you. Therefore, to the question, if the coronavirus strikes you and you die, what assurance do you have that you will go to heaven? The answer is, you will surely go to heaven if you have repented perfectly, if you have perfect faith, and if you have the beginnings of charity, the beginnings of charity of which you can only receive, as the gospel for today, second Sunday of Easter, says, if Christ have breathed on you and said, receive the Holy Spirit, then you can die if the coronavirus strikes you, or better still, if you reach that point in your spiritual life, the coronavirus cannot touch you, cannot kill you, because you have done what Christ was delivering with the message of this chastisement. Repent, believe. That's why we are being chastised, because we do not repent, we do not believe. But if you have done so, it will have no effect on you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.